And we now have with us U.S. Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas, and I know a lot going on in Washington, D.C., and the nominees, there's been, you know, considerable discussion, as would be expected, and I know you had, you basically, sounds like you supported most of them, if not all, and maybe some of your thoughts. I know that obviously when it came to the education secretary, and then also, of course, when it came to the nominee for the U.S. Supreme Court, just some of your thoughts about the whole thing.
Well, I think that the president, no matter who he is or she is, should have their cabinet nominees approved, unless there is something terribly wrong with the responsibility we have in the Senate for confirmation. And this has unfortunately become very controversial. I think that's wrapped up in, quite frankly, a situation where some folks are still trying to get over what's happened here with regards to the election of Donald Trump, and they have some feeling about it, and so they're proceeding in that fashion. I think that the president has named some very fine people right off the bat. General Mattis, who is a Marine, there are no former Marines. He's a great general. He worked at the department. He has been in combat. There are people that would come out of retirement and follow him into combat if he chose to do so. He's simply outstanding, but he's also a man that wants to make sure that we have victory spelled out before we ever send anybody in uniform into combat. But if you do go into combat, he's a wonderful, wonderful leader. Then we have General Kelly over at the Department of Homeland Security. We have an opportunity right there to have K-State really make an impression on the general. I know the general. I want him to come out to K-State to visit MBAF. I think he'll try to do that with the busy schedule he has. Then we have another general, General Mumford, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And so the Marines have sort of taken over, which makes me pretty happy. Now, as to Betsy DeVos, who will be the next Secretary of Education, she was confirmed in a tough vote, and there was a lot of concern about her, quite frankly, when I met her. she was a little nervous about her appearance before the committee, and I don't think she did as well as she could have. She was most gracious. She was very understanding on the part of many teachers who worry about public education, and that a full-blown support of a voucher system for inner-city children to go to other schools could drain away money vitally needed for public schools. She's not going to do that. But she is a very innovative thinker. I went over my long time ago experience of teaching school when I had a little newspaper out in Arizona, and I'm not even sure you knew that, Kathy, but at any rate, I did ask her some questions that really pertain to my experience and also what we learned from the Education Roundtable that we had here not too long ago at Washburn University. So we really repeated a lot of the problems with regulations affecting the education industry. She was quite knowledgeable. She did a very good job in my office, and so I based my decision on that meeting, not the meeting where people tried to trip her up, and those hearings are pretty brutal, and especially with my friends across the aisle. As to the Supreme Court nominee, I don't think you could pick a better man or a better nominee, man or woman, and I think that he's got all the credentials. He certainly knows the difference between a judge and a senator, or for that matter, a congressperson. We are in the business of legislating. I don't think we need more judges to be legislating from the bench, and he understands that very clearly. In normal circumstances, Kathy, I think that he would sail through without any problem. I think he will be confirmed, but I would hope that maybe this particular nominee would receive more votes than just a 52-47 or whatever vote. He certainly deserves that. It would be an opportunity for the Senate to get back to to regular order and to get back to a situation where we have senators saying things where they're in violation of Rule 19 and then have to sit down. That's not a good situation. And so we have been not, we've just been at a standoff back here, and then we are gradually working through the nominees. We need to get these people on board so we can get to the business of the country. So, but I am convinced in regards to the nominee for the Supreme Court, he has all the qualifications. My goodness, you couldn't pick a finer nominee.
Senator, are you getting a lot of comments from constituents? I know we're hearing a lot about phones ringing off the hook there in Washington, D.C., especially I know with the Secretary of Education. I know that there, right. We heard that a lot of people were calling, and I'd be curious to know.
We had three interns and three employees doing nothing but answering the phone, and we couldn't keep up, and so people got put on hold. We are now getting back in touch with people that left us a voicemail, who are from Kansas, where we got a lot of calls from outside of Kansas. And that was an orchestrated lobbying effort by people who were concerned about Betsy DeVos and any possible threat to public education. I understand that. We tried to point out that I share that concern. I'm a product of the public schools, so are my kids. My mother was a teacher, so I've always had a kinship, and then, as I indicated to you earlier, way back in the day, why I was a teacher as well. So, that's quite natural. I think you had the American Federation of Teachers and the NEA, and they were very concerned, and they marshaled, quite an effort. So we answered every call that we could, and then we have also gotten back in terms of voicemail. I'm not saying that what we told them was what they wanted to hear, but we did try to allay fears that this was a lady that would be somehow an enemy of public education. That's just not the case.
Was it a record setting at all? I know you've been around long enough to know about this process, and I'm sure you've seen the tough ones and the easy ones. But I mean, how does this compare through the years of other times that you've had to act on some of these different nominees?
Oh, I remember way back when I was working for Keith Sebelius, my predecessor in the first district, about the Vietnam War. And that was an incredible division, not only with everybody else, but within the Republican Party, and produced all sorts of phone calls. And we have had several issues like that, where people get very upset, and then in many cases you have other organizations behind these calls, MoveOn.org, others. That finance the effort. And when that happens, why, then you just get into a tie-down situation and you do the best that you can. By the way, I answered the phones. I didn't answer a lot. I just didn't have time to do it. And there was one lady in particular, you might get a kick out of this. Boy, she started right off, and I said, well, ma'am, if you can slow down, I want to enumerate your concerns so that the senator will fully understand. And she says, well, how on earth can you ever convince me that this will ever get to the senator? And I said, because you're talking to him. And she says, oh, am I talking to Pat Robertson? And I said, no, ma'am, he's the preacher. I'm the senator. And then I asked her where she was from, and she was from St. Louis, Missouri. So I figured, okay, at least I did my part.
And I'm sure when you're flooded like that, and I don't want to take all day on this, but I did hear of at least one person that didn't feel like her questions were answered when she sent, I don't know if it was an email or a letter, but I'm sure that it probably becomes difficult to get to every single question.
Yeah, well, maybe we haven't even got back to her. I don't know, and I'm not too sure, given the amount of opposition and the amount of information that people were worried about, that we change anybody's mind. I can hold a town hall meeting and probably have a whole bunch of folks there, and I can say, well, wait a minute, before you get started, I did talk to this nominee. I was very impressed with her, her intellect. She is a very kind lady. She's very soft-spoken. But this idea that she is going to go full-time voucher and at the expense of public education is simply not the case. I'm not sure that allays all of their fears, or not, but at least we're trying to get back and address that concern.
Well, on to other things real quickly. I know you have this big farm bill field hearing coming up in Manhattan, Kansas. I think you had mentioned that last time we chatted, but we didn't know for sure the date, so that sounds
pretty... Yeah, it's February 23, and we'll be there, and Senator Deborah Stabenow will be there from Michigan. We want to give her a good Kansas welcome. We work together. She is the leading Democrat. Obviously, I'm the chairman and the leading Republican, and but we work together, and I think probably the Ag Committee is the least partisan committee that we have in the Congress. We know we have to write a farm bill. We know we're going through a very rough patch in agriculture right now. The Wall Street Journal just discovered Kansas and the problems that our farmers are going through. They wrote a nice article in today's paper. So we have to have a predictable and a workable trade policy. I haven't seen that yet from the Trump administration, and we're trying to make our feelings known that we have to sell our product, and a lot of it's sitting on the ground. There is just no demand. We have to have forbearance in the farm credit system, and we have to insist on that. A lot of that would come with some repeal of the Dodd-Frank regulations that don't apply to our small community banks. And this also applies to the farm credit system. So there's a lot of things we expect to talk about during that hearing. We will be hearing from every commodity group, every farm organization, and a lot of other folks to boot. And it's in the McCain Auditorium, where I was required to go as a freshman when I was at K-State and listen to the lectures.
I won't keep you much longer. I know I've kept you over, but anything else you're wanting to highlight today?
Oh, Kathy, I think you've touched upon it. I was very impressed when Jeff Sessions, the senator from Alabama, who will be our next attorney general and was sworn in today, the vote was 52-47, and one Democrat, Joe Manchin, voted for Jeff. This is a colleague in the United States Senate for 20 years, for goodness sakes, and yet we still have this standoff that Chuck Schumer, the leading Democrat, says we're going to fight you every step of the way. I hope we can stop that. And Jeff made a wonderful speech. He did not rail against those who attacked him as being a racist and all sorts of name-calling that was really very provocative and very unnecessary, because that's not Jeff. And he said that he worked with Senator Ted Kennedy, and Kennedy before, when he was up for judgeship, was one of these loudest critics. And he said, I want to work with you, Jeff. And both he and Kennedy worked together on civil rights legislation. Not many people knew about that. He didn't say that Kennedy apologized, but it was reconciliation. He said, I'm using this as an example to urge the Senate to try to find things to agree on the things that they can agree with, and then discuss those as opposed to the things that they disagree on. And he said, that would be my prayer for the Senate, and you do that with brotherly love. I thought that was a class act. And if we could follow that example, I think we could certainly represent the people a lot better.
Well, again, been a pleasure. We've had with us today U.S. Senator Pat Roberts of Kansas.